"Can we go back now?" he said. "I'm cold." Rob glanced around. "We need to find the wolves. Can you stand to go a bit longer?" "I can go as long as you can." Maester Lewin had warned him to keep the ride short for fear of saddle sores, but Bran would not admit to weakness in front of his brother. He was sick of the way everyone was always fussing over him and asking how he was. "Let's hunt down the hunters, then," Rob said. Side by side, they urged their mounts off the King's Road and struck out into the Wolf's Wood. Theon dropped back and followed well behind, talking and joking with the guardsmen. It was nice under the trees. Bran kept Dancer to a walk, holding the reins lightly and looking all around him as they went. He knew this wood, but he had been so long confined to Winterfell that he felt as though he were seeing it for the first time. The smells filled his nostrils, the sharp, fresh tang of pine needles, the earthy odor of wet, rotting leaves, the hint of animal musk and distant cooking fires. He caught a glimpse of a black squirrel moving through the snow-covered branches of an oak, and paused to study the silvery web of an emperor spider. Theon and the others fell farther and farther behind until Bran could no longer hear their voices. From ahead came the faint sound of rushing water. It grew louder until they reached the stream. Tears stung his eyes. "Bran?" Rob asked. "What's wrong?" Bran shook his head. "I was just remembering," he said. "Jory brought us here once to fish for trout. You and me and John, do you remember?"
"I remember," Rob said, his voice quiet and sad.
"I didn't catch anything," Bran said, "but John gave me his fish on the way back to Winterfell. Will we ever see John again?"
"We saw Uncle Benjen when the king came to visit," Rob pointed out. "John will visit too, you'll see."
The stream was running high and fast. Rob dismounted and led his gelding across the ford. In the deepest part of the crossing, the water came up to mid-thigh. He tied his horse to a tree on the far side and waded back across for Bran and Dancer. The current foamed around rock and root, and Bran could feel the spray on his face as Rob led him over. It made him smile. For a moment he felt strong again and whole. He looked up at the trees and dreamed of climbing them, right up to the very top, with the whole forest spread out beneath him. They were on the far side when they heard the howl, a long, rising wail that moved through the trees like a cold wind. Bran raised his head to listen. "Summer," he said. No sooner had he spoken than a second voice joined the first. "They've made a kill," Rob said as he remounted. "I'd best go and bring them back. Wait here. Theon and the others should be along shortly."
"I want to go with you," Bran said. "I'll find them faster by myself." Rob spurred his gelding and vanished into the trees.
Once he was gone, the woods seemed to close in around Bran. The snow was falling more heavily now. Where it touched the ground, it melted, but all about him, rock and root and branch, wore a thin blanket of white. As he waited, he was conscious of how uncomfortable he felt. He could not feel his legs, hanging useless in the stirrups, but the strap around his chest was tight and chafing, and the melting snow had soaked through his gloves to chill his hands. He wondered what was keeping Theon and Maester Lewin and Joseph and the rest. When he heard the rustle of leaves, Bran used his rein to make Dancer turn, expecting to see his friends, but the ragged men who stepped out onto the bank of the stream were strangers. "Good day to you," he said nervously. One look, and Bran knew they were neither foresters nor farmers. He was suddenly conscious of how richly he was dressed. His surcoat was new, dark grey wool with silver buttons, and a heavy silver pin fastened his fur-trimmed cloak at the shoulders. His boots and gloves were lined with fur as well.
"All alone, are you?" said the biggest of them, a bald man with a raw, wind-burnt face. "Lost in the wolf's wood, poor lad."
"I'm not lost." Bran did not like the way the strangers were looking at him. He counted four, but when he turned his head, he saw two others behind him. "My brother rode off just a moment ago, and my guard will be here shortly."
"Your guard, is it?" the second man said.
Grey stubble covered his gaunt face.
"And what would they be guarding, my little lord? Is that a silver pin I see on your cloak?"
"Pretty," said a woman's voice. She scarcely looked like a woman, tall and lean, with the same hard face as the others, her hair hidden beneath a bowl-shaped half-helm. The spear she held was 8 feet of black oak, tipped in rusted steel.
"Let's have a look," said the big bald man.
Bran watched him anxiously. The man's clothes were filthy, fallen almost to pieces, patched here with brown, and here with blue, and there with a dark green, and faded everywhere to grey. But once the cloak might have been black. The grey stubbly man wore black rags, too, he saw with a sudden start. Suddenly Bran remembered the oathbreaker his father had beheaded. The day they had found the wolf pups, that man had worn black as well, and father said he had been a deserter from the night's watch. "No man is more dangerous," he remembered Lord Eddard saying. "The deserter knows his life is forfeit if he is taken, so he will not flinch from any crime, no matter how vile or cruel."
"The pin, lad," the big man said. He held out his hand. "We'll take the horse, too," said another of them, a woman shorter than Rob, with a broad, flat face and lank yellow hair. "Get down and be quick about it."
A knife slid from her sleeve into her hand, its edge jagged as a saw.
"No," Bran blurted, "I can't."
The big man grabbed his reins before Bran could think to wheel Dance around and gallop off.
"You can, lordling, and will, if you know what's good for you." "Stiv, look how he's strapped on," the tall woman pointed with her spear. "Might be it's the truth he's telling."
"Straps, is it?" Stiv said. He drew a dagger from a sheath at his belt.
"There's ways to deal with straps." "You some kind of cripple?" asked the short woman.
Bran flared.
"I'm Brandon Stark of Winterfell, and you'd better let go of my horse, or I'll see you all dead."
The gaunt man, with a grey, stubbled face, laughed.
"The boy is a Stark, true enough. Only a Stark would be fool enough to threaten where smarter men would beg." "Cut his little cock off and stuff it in his mouth," suggested the short woman. "That should shut him up." "You're as stupid as you are ugly, Harley," said the tall woman. "The boy's worth nothing dead but alive. Gods be damned, think what Mance would give to have Benjen Stark's own blood to hostage."
"Mance be damned," the big man cursed. "You want to go back there, Usher? More fool you. Think the White Walkers would care if you have a hostage?" He turned back to Bran and slashed at the strap around his thigh. The leather parted with a sigh. The stroke had been quick and careless, biting deep. Looking down, Bran glimpsed pale flesh where the wool of his legging had parted. Then the blood began to flow. He watched the red stain spread, feeling light-headed, curiously apart. There'd been no pain, not even a hint of feeling. The big man grunted in surprise.
"Put down your steel now, and I promise you, you shall have a quick and painless death,"
Rob called out. Bran looked up in desperate hope, and there he was. The strength of his words were undercut by the way his voice cracked with strain. He was mounted, the bloody carcass of an elk slung across the back of his horse, his sword in a gloved hand.
"The brother," said the man with a grey, stubbly face. "He's a fierce one," mocked the short woman. "Harley," they called her. "You mean to fight us, boy?" "Don't be a fool, lad. You're one against six."
The tall woman, Usher, levelled her spear.
off the horse, and throw down the sword. We'll thank you kindly for the mount and for the venison, and you and your brother can be on your way.
Rob whistled. They heard the faint sound of soft feet on wet leaves. The undergrowth parted, low-hanging branches giving up their accumulation of snow, and grey wind and summer emerged from the green. Summer sniffed the air and growled.
"Wolves!" gasped Harley.
"Dire wolves," Bran said. Still half-grown, they were as large as any wolf he had ever seen. But the differences were easy to spot if you knew what to look for. Maester Lewin and Farlan, the kennel master, had taught him. A dire wolf had a bigger head and longer legs in proportion to its body, and its snout and jaw were markedly leaner and more pronounced. There was something gaunt and terrible about them as they stood there amid the gently falling snow. Fresh blood spotted Grey Wind's muzzle.
"Dogs," the big bald man said contemptuously. "Yet I'm told there's nothing like a wolfskin cloak to warm a man by night."
He made a sharp gesture.
"Take them."
Rob shouted,
"Winterfell!"
and kicked his horse. The gelding plunged down the bank as the ragged men closed. A man with an axe rushed in, shouting and heedless. Rob's sword caught him full in the face with a sickening crunch and a spray of bright blood. The man with the gaunt, stubbly face made a grab for the reins, and for half a second he had them, and then Grey Wind was on him, bearing him down. He fell back into the stream with a splash and a shout, flailing wildly with his knife as his head went under. The direwolf plunged in after him, and the white water turned red where they had vanished. Rob and Usher matched blows in midstream. Her long spear was a steel-headed serpent, flashing out at his chest, once, twice, three times. But Rob parried every thrust with his longsword, turning the point aside. On the fourth or fifth thrust, the tall woman overextended herself and lost her balance, just for a second. Rob charged, riding her down. A few feet away, Summer darted in and snapped at Harley. The knife bit at his flank. Summer slid away, snarling, and came rushing in again. This time his jaws closed around her calf. Holding the knife with both hands, the small woman stabbed down, but the dire wolf seemed to sense the blade coming. He pulled free for an instant, his mouth full of leather and cloth and bloody flesh. When Harley stumbled and fell, he came at her again, slamming her backward, teeth tearing at her belly. The sixth man ran from the carnage, but not far. As he went scrambling up the far side of the bank, Grey Wind emerged from the stream, dripping wet. He shook the water off and bounded after the running man, hamstringing him with a single snap of his teeth, and going for the throat as the screaming man slid back down toward the water. And then there was no one left but the big man, Stiv. He slashed at Bran's chest strap, grabbed his arm, and yanked. Suddenly Bran was falling. He sprawled on the ground, his legs tangled under him, one foot in the stream. He could not feel the cold of the water, but he felt the steel when Stiv pressed his dagger to his throat.
"Back away," the man warned, "or I'll open the boy's windpipe, I swear it."
Rob reined his horse in, breathing hard. The fury went out of his eyes, and his sword arm dropped. In that moment, Bran saw everything. Summer was savaging Harley, pulling glistening blue snakes from her belly. Her eyes were wide and staring. Bran could not tell whether she was alive or dead. The grey, stubbly man and the one with the axe lay unmoving. But Usher was on her knees, crawling towards her fallen spear. Grey Wind padded toward her, dripping wet.
"Call him off," the big man shouted. "Call them both off, or the crippled boy dies now."
"Grey Wind, Summer, to me," Rob said. The dire wolf stopped, turned their heads. Grey Wind loped back to Rob. Summer stayed where he was, his eyes on Bran and the man beside him. He growled. His muzzle was wet and red, but his eyes burned. Usher used the butt end of her spear to lever herself back to her feet. Blood leaked from a wound on the upper arm where Rob had cut her. Bran could see sweat trickling down the big man's face. Stiv was as scared as he was, he realized.
Starks, the man muttered. Bloody Starks! He raised his voice. Usher, kill the wolves and get his sword!
Kill them yourself, she replied. I'll not be getting near those monsters.
For a moment, Stiv was at a loss. His hand trembled. Bran felt a trickle of blood where the knife pressed against his neck. The stench of the man filled his nose. He smelled of fear.
You, he called out to Rob, you have a name?
I'm Rob Stark, the heir to Winterfell.
This is your brother?
Yes.
You want him alive? Do what I say. Off the horse.
Rob hesitated a moment, then slowly and deliberately he dismounted and stood with his sword in hand.
Now, kill the wolves.
Rob did not move.
You do it. The wolves or the boy?
No,
Bran screamed. If Rob did as they asked, Stiv would kill them both anyway, once the dire wolves were dead. The bald man took hold of his hair with his free hand and twisted it cruelly till Bran sobbed in pain.
You shut your mouth, cripple, you hear me?
He twisted harder.
You hear me?
Hello, thrum, it came from the woods behind them. Stiv gave a choked gasp as a half-foot of razor-tipped broadhead suddenly exploded out of his chest. The arrow was bright red, as if it had been painted in blood. The dagger fell away from Bran's throat. The big man swayed and collapsed, face down in the stream. The arrow broke beneath him. Bran watched his life go swirling off in the water. Usher glanced around as Father's guardsman appeared from beneath the trees, steel in hand. She threw down her spear.
Mercy, my lord, she called to Rob.
The guardsmen had a strange, pale look to their faces as they took in the scene of slaughter. They eyed the wolves uncertainly, and when Summer returned to Harley's corpse to feed, Joseph dropped the knife and scrambled for the bush, heaving. Even Maester Lewin seemed shocked as he stepped from behind a tree, but only for an instant. Then he shook his head and waded across the stream to Bran's side.
Are you hurt?
He cut my leg, Bran said, but I couldn't feel it.
As the Maester knelt to examine the wound, Bran turned his head. Theon Greyjoy stood beside a sentinel tree. His bow in hand, he was smiling, ever smiling. A half-dozen arrows were thrust into the soft ground at his feet, but it had taken only one.
A dead enemy is a thing of beauty, he announced.
John always said you were an ass, Greyjoy,
Rob said loudly.
I ought to chain you up in the yard and let Bran take a few practice shots at you. You should be thanking me for saving your brother's life.
What if you had missed the shot, Rob said. What if you'd only wounded him? What if you'd made his hand jump? Or hit Bran instead. For all you knew, the man might have been wearing a breastplate. All you could see was the back of his cloak. What would have happened to my brother then?
Did you ever think of that, Greyjoy?
Theon's smile was gone. He gave a sullen shrug and began to pull his arrows from the ground, one by one. Rob glared at his guardsmen.
Where were you? He demanded of them. I was sure you were close behind us.
The men traded unhappy glances.
We were following, my lord, said Quint,
the youngest of them, his beard a soft brown fuzz.
Only first, we waited for Maester Lewin and his ass.
Oh, begging your pardons.
And then, well, as it were,
he glanced over at Theon and quickly looked away abashed.
I spied a turkey, Theon said, annoyed by the question. How was I to know that you'd leave the boy alone?
Rob turned his head to look at Theon once more. Bran had never seen him so angry, yet he said nothing. Finally, he knelt beside Maester Lewin. How badly is my brother wounded?
No more than a scratch, the maester said. He wet a cloth in a stream to clean the cut. "Two of them wear the black," he told Rob as he worked. Rob glanced over at where Stiv lay sprawled in the stream, his ragged black cloak moving fitfully as the rushing waters tugged at it. "Deserters from the Night's Watch," he said grimly. "They must have been fools to come so close to Winterfell." "Folly and desperation are oft times hard to tell apart," said Maester Lewin. "Shall we bury them, my lord?" said Quint. "They would not have buried us," Rob said. "Hack off their heads. We'll send them back to the wall. Leave the rest for the carrion crows." "And this one?" Quint jerked a thumb towards Usher. Rob walked over to her. She was a head taller than he was, but she dropped to her knees at his approach. "Give me my life, my Lord of Stark, and I'm yours."
"Mine? What would I do with an oathbreaker?"
"I broke no oaths. Stiv and Wallen flew down off the wall, not me. The Black Crow's got no place for women."
Theon Greyjoy sauntered closer.
"Give her to the wolves," he urged Rob.
The woman's eyes went to what was left of Harley, and just as quickly away. She shuddered. Even the guardsmen looked queasy.
"She's a woman," Rob said.
"A wildling," Bran told him.
"She said they should keep me alive so they could take me to Mance Rayder."
"Do you have a name?" Rob asked her.
"Usher, as it please the lord," she muttered sourly.
Maester Lewin stood.
"We might do well to question her."
Bran could see the relief on his brother's face.
"As you say, maester. Wayne, bind her hands. She'll come back to Winterfell with us, and live or die by the truths she gives us."